Amen. Appreciate that, ladies. Let's take our Bibles, please, and turn to John chapter 3. John chapter 3. John chapter 3. Had a man write in and ask the question in John chapter 3, what verses 10 through 13 mean? And so we'd like to look at that this morning. John chapter 3, and shall we pray? Heavenly Father, we thank you for the privilege to gather in your house today. And I pray that the Holy Spirit now would open each of our hearts to your precious word. We ask in Jesus' name, amen. John chapter 3 and verse 10. Jesus answered and said unto him, Art thou a master of Israel, and knowest not these things? Verily, verily, I say unto thee, we speak that we do know, and testify that we have seen, and ye receive not our witness. If I have told you earthly things, and ye believe not, how shall ye believe if I tell you of heavenly things? And no man hath ascended up to heaven, but he that came down from heaven, even the Son of Man, which is in heaven. Now, this passage reminds us we can't just look to the so-called professionals to tell us what things mean in life. We can't just look to them. Hold your place here and turn with me to Acts chapter 17. Acts 17. We need to study the Bible for ourselves. This is not to belittle those who teach the Bible to us, but it's just a fact we need to study it out for ourselves. In Acts 17, verse 11, these were more noble than those in Thessalonica, and that they received the word with all what? Readiness of mind, and searched the scriptures how often? Daily, whether those things were so. Now notice that the Bible does not say they came with antagonistic minds, verse 11 there. It said they received the word with all what? Readiness of mind. They didn't come with antagonistic hearts. They came with ready hearts, but then they searched the scriptures daily. The word readiness means prepared mentally or physically for some experience or action, prepared for immediate use, willingly disposed, inclined, likely to do something indicated. So, you know, we have to be on guard in life. There's so many salesmen that try to sell us things, and you know, there's always the fine print. You know, sure, we've got this special deal, but it's only so many months, and then you have to pay, you know, this price to finish out the other 2 years or whatever it is. And so man tries to swindle us that way all the time. And, you know, it's, I'm thinking of there's a very popular right now media person, and he is digging into very much the corruption in government. And yet, this man is part of a religion that if he would expend that same energy into, quote, religion, he would find out he's been sold a bill of goods, and he would come to the true faith in Jesus Christ. And so they came here with readiness of mind. As we come to the Word of God, we need to come with that attitude. The last part of that definition was likely to do something indicated. And that's the way we ought to be. When we see something from God's word, we ought to say, yes, I'm going to do that. That's the right thing to do. And we need to check out from the Bible if indeed that is. It says there, they searched the scriptures daily whether those things were so. I gave the plan of salvation to a young man some years ago, and he happened to be in the Catholic Church. And at the end of our conversation, I was showing him clearly from the Bible what the Bible says, and he saw that, but at the end he said this to me. He said, you know, I've seen what you've given me, but he says, I can't understand the Bible apart from the priest. Listen, you can understand the Bible. God wants you to. In verse 11, search the scriptures daily whether those things were so. What you hear, check out from the Bible and make sure that's what the Bible says. But come with that readiness of mind. If you see, yes, that is what the Bible says, then do it. Do it. Don't be antagonistic with it. And what that's going to require is, notice in 2 Timothy chapter 2, that's going to require study on our part. Study. And that's not easy to study. If it was easy to study, every student would get A's. And it's not the way it is. 2 Timothy 2, verse 15. 2 Timothy 2:15. What's the first word? Study. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly, what? Dividing the word of truth. That's our problem right now in America. We're not going back to the founding fathers. The founding fathers believed in God. They might not have all been born again Christians, but they had a fear of God. They had a fear of God, which we've lost today. But because of that, because people do not have a fear of God, they've thrown Bible reading, prayer, and a lot of things out of the schools. And so they're wrongly dividing what the framers of our Constitution really wanted for a nation. And I'm going to be coming with some of those facts to you in the days ahead just to prove that to you. But notice with me in Ephesians chapter 4. Now, because we are to study the Bible, that does not mean we are to despise our teachers. We are to come with humble hearts, ready to learn, but we are then to check out what they say. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 11. And he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and what? Teachers. God gave us teachers. Why? Verse 12. For the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. The word edify means to build up. They used to use that word like a great edifice. It was a great building. Verse 13. Till we all come in the what? Unity of the faith. How are we going to get that unity if we all study our Bibles? We're going to come to the same conclusion. Benjamin Franklin, the framers of the Constitution were gathered together in their meeting, and it was chaos. Everybody had their own ideas. And he said, you know what I think we need to do? I think we need to pray. And I think we need to take a 3-day recess from this meeting. And we need to seek God. And we need to think about what we've heard in here and then assemble back together. And they did. And they got something done. And at the end, Benjamin Franklin was amazed at the Constitution that had been assembled. And made the comment, and other men did too, about just how God had helped them, and it was a constitution unlike any other constitution of any other country. And they considered the European countries' constitutions and so on. But made reference to the Creator. Well, you know what? If we have a Creator, then there's no such thing as evolution. Well, the framers of our Constitution right now, they don't want to let the teaching of creation into the public schools. And yet the framers of our Constitution believed in the Creator. And so the framers of the Constitution, if they were here today, they'd say, what do you mean not let creation be taught in school? So we're far away. That's why here in Ephesians chapter 4 and verses 11 and on down through here, we'll only come to unity as we read the Bible. And then we'll come to the same conclusions. Verse 13, till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we henceforth be no more what? Children, tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness whereby they lie in wait to deceive. So, children, what's true of children? Well, they can believe this and believe that, believe this and believe that. They're not steadfast in what they believe. How do we get that steadfastness? Verse 15, but speaking the truth in love may what? Grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ. And on the teaching goes there. So a true teacher is going to tell us what the Bible says. A true teacher is not just going to give us his opinion, he's going to keep pointing us to the Word of God and allow us to see. So let's go back to John 3. Here was this master of Israel, and he's asking Jesus some questions. And verse 10 there, John 3, verse 10, Jesus answered and said unto him, Art thou a master of Israel and knowest not these things? Now, just to note, Nicodemus was not a master of the church. He was a master in Israel. He was a Jewish, what they would call a Jewish scholar. Now, verse 10 is a response to verses 1 through 9. And as we back up here then and read verse 1, there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. There it tells us. He's a ruler of the Jews. He was a teacher of the Jews. And verse 2, the same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. So Nicodemus came by night because he was curious how Jesus could do all these miracles and where he was getting his authority to teach these things. Several times in the scripture, people were amazed because Jesus has taught them as one having authority and not as the scribes. The scribes were always giving different examples from history, but never with authority. It was like, okay, this is a multiple choice question. Have you ever had a question and just wish you could get it answered? You didn't want multiple choice. You wanted the answer. And that's what people want, an answer. They don't want a multiple choice answer about heaven. They want to know for sure that when they die, they're going there. They want something with authority. This man did too. He was curious. And so in verse 2 there, he comes to Jesus by night. And the reason he came by night is because he didn't want to be seen by his peers, by his friends. He was a Pharisee, verse 1 tells us. The Pharisees were against Jesus. They didn't like him. And notice, hold your place here, but back to chapter 9, John chapter 9. Anyone that said they believed in Jesus was going to get thrown out of the synagogue. The synagogues were the Jewish places of worship. And John chapter 9, verse 22, John 9, 22. Well, let's back up to see what his parents were saying. Verse 20, John 9, verse 20. His parents answered them and said, We know that this is our son and that he was born blind. But by what means he now seeth, we know not. Or who hath opened his eyes, we know not. He is of age, ask him. He shall speak for himself. These words spake his parents, because they feared the Jews. For the Jews had agreed already that if any man did confess that he was Christ, he should be what? Put out of the synagogue. Therefore, his parents said, his parents, he is of age, ask him. His parents were afraid of getting thrown out of the synagogue, not being allowed to come there anymore. If they said, well, Jesus healed him. Jesus made our son to see. They were afraid of getting booted out. Notice in chapter 12, John chapter 12, another instance. You just didn't confess that you believed in Jesus or you were out of the synagogue. John 12, verse 42. John 12, 42. Nevertheless, among the chief rulers, also many believed on him, but because of the Pharisees, they did not confess him, lest they should be what? Put out of the synagogue. They were afraid. If you go back in John chapter 3 now, and notice that verse 1, Nicodemus was a Pharisee, and so he came to Jesus by night, verse 2, because he was afraid. If his friend Pharisee saw him, he would be booted out of the synagogue. So notice what Jesus says to him, verse 3. Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be what? Born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God, except a man be born again. Now, Nicodemus didn't understand this. Nicodemus obviously is a grown man. And he says, okay, I've got to be born again if I'm going to heaven. How do I do that? Verse 4. Nicodemus saith unto him, How can a man be born when he is what? Old. Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus, I'm a little too big to fit back into my mother's womb. It won't work. What do you mean? I've got to be born again to go to heaven. I don't understand. So Jesus explains, verse 5. Jesus answered, "Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of what? Water and of what? The Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God." So he says, you got to be born of water and of the Spirit. Now, some people look at that and say, oh, so that means you've got to be baptized and accept Jesus? No, look at verse 6. He interprets what he meant. Verse 6. That which is born of the what? Flesh is what? Flesh. And that which is born of the what? Spirit is what? Spirit. So that which is born of the flesh is flesh. We are born in water. We are conceived and the baby is formed in a sack of water. That's what Jesus was referring to. We must be born by water and by the Spirit. Verse 6, we must be born of the flesh and born of the Spirit. Now, why is it that it's not enough to just be born physically? Why is it that not everyone is going to heaven? Why do we have to be born spiritually? Well, this is where Nicodemus should have understood. Verse 7, Jesus says, "Marvel not that I said unto thee, ye must be born again." Now, notice with me in Genesis chapter 3. Genesis 3. Now, remember, Nicodemus was a ruler of the Jews. Nicodemus was a Pharisee. That meant that Nicodemus taught through the Bible. What did Nicodemus do when he taught Genesis? What did he say for all those years? In Genesis, let's start in chapter 2, Genesis 2, and see what the Lord told Adam and Eve. Verse 16, Genesis 2, 16. And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, "Of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat of it. For in the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely," what? "Die." Now he said, "Therefore in the," what, "that thou eatest?" "In the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die." Now some people say, why does God have so many rules? I want you to notice, God did not start out with even the Ten Commandments. He started out with the one commandment. And it was this right here. In verse 16, he said, "Of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat." He said, Adam, look across this big garden. You can eat of everything in this garden but one tree. I just ask that you not eat of this one tree. So God says you can eat of everything, just not of this one tree. That was the only rule there was. And he said, if you eat, you're going to die, and it's that day. Now look in chapter 3. In chapter 3, verse 1, "Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field, which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, Yea, hath God said, ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden?" You know, that's the problem. Satan comes along and has just enough truth, but not the whole truth, to deceive people. What Satan first said, the first part of what he said was okay. The problem was, is he didn't finish. Did God say they could eat of every tree of the garden, verse 1? Well, look over in verse 16 of chapter 2. "The Lord God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden thou mayest," what? "Freely eat." Look back in chapter 3, verse 1. Last part, hath God said, "Ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden?" But Satan left off the most important point, and that was verse 17, "But there's one you shouldn't." So, verse 2 of chapter 3, "The woman said unto the serpent, We may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die." Well, God didn't say they couldn't touch it. I have a feeling that was a thing between Adam and Eve. It's kind of like our children. You know what? They will not get burnt off the stove unless they actually touch it. But what do we say? We say, get away from that hot stove. Well, they won't get burnt by just being a foot away from it, but what's the danger? The closer you get, the more likely you are to touch it and get hurt. That's why we say, keep away from the road. Car might hit you. So I have a feeling that was just between Adam and Eve. God said, don't eat of it. But probably between Adam and Eve, probably Adam said, listen, dear, just stay away from it. Don't even touch that tree. Stay away from it. But God didn't say they couldn't touch it, but they were not to eat of it. But verse 4. And the serpent said to the woman, ye shall not surely die, for God doth know that in the day ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof and did eat, and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat. And the eyes of them both were opened, and they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves aprons. The very first marital trouble came about because they disobeyed God. Now you'll notice God made them in verse, well, if you look back to Genesis 2, verse 24 and 25. Therefore shall a man leave his father and his mother and shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh. And they were both naked, the man and his wife, and were not, what? Ashamed. They were not ashamed. God made them that way, and they were not ashamed. But when they sinned, suddenly, when they sinned against God, suddenly there was a barrier between themselves. And that's the way it is. When we sin against God, we also make barriers between us and our loved ones and other people as well. So what happened here that day? Well, if you look on in chapter 3, the Lord handed down consequences because of their sin. In verse 16, Genesis 3:16, unto who? The woman. He said, I will greatly multiply thy sorrow and thy conception. In sorrow thou shalt bring forth children, and thy desire shall be to thy husband, and he shall rule over thee. The consequences of sin for the woman was pain and travail and childbearing. The consequences for the man, verse 17. And unto Adam he said, because thou hast hearkened unto the voice of thy wife, and hast eaten of the tree of which I command thee, saying, thou shalt not eat of it. What? Cursed is what? The ground for thy sake. In sorrow shalt thou eat of it all the days of thy life. Thorns also and thistles shall it bring forth to thee. And thou shalt eat the herb of the field. In the what? Sweat of thy face shalt thou eat bread till thou return into the ground. For out of it wast thou taken, for dust thou art, and unto dust shalt thou return. So this is what happened. They sinned, and the consequences for the woman was pain and travail in labor, bringing forth children. The consequences for the man was a daily labor and travail, having to work for a living, and many times hard, in the sweat of his face. All that is because of sin. So don't blame it on God. Well, that's mankind's fault that we are in that situation. But I want you to notice, remember in chapter 2 and verse 17, chapter 2, verse 17, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, thou shalt not eat of it, for in the what? The day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. Is a child conceived and born in a day? No. Does a garden grow and harvest? Do you plant seeds and harvest the fruit the same day? No. Do thorns grow up in a day? No, it may seem like weeds grow that fast, but it takes a little while. The point is this, God said, in the day you eat, if you disobey me in the day you eat, you're going to die. Well, what we see is physically they didn't die that day because God handed down consequences to their sin. The consequences for the woman was in conceiving and bearing children, that takes time. The consequences for the man is going to be hard to bring forth bread to eat. That takes time. Died spiritually. That day they were separated from God, just like that day there was suddenly a barrier between themselves. God had made them without any clothes as husband and wife, but the moment they sinned, they were suddenly ashamed around each other. You see, that fellowship, something was broken, and they were separated from God that day spiritually. So you go back to John chapter 3, didn't Nicodemus ever teach the book of Genesis? What did he teach? God said they were going to die that day. Well, it's obviously they didn't die that day physically. Well, in what way did they die that day? Spiritually. And that's the whole key of John chapter 3. Verse 3, Jesus answered and said unto him, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be what? Born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Then Nicodemus questioned. Nicodemus said to him, how can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? No. Verse 5, Jesus answered, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of what? Water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is what? Flesh. And that which is born of the Spirit is what? Spirit. Marvel not that I said unto thee, ye must be born again. Remember, he's talking to a teacher. How did that teacher teach through Genesis? They died spiritually that day they seen. So verse 8, Jesus goes on, the wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the what? The sound thereof, but canst not know, tell whence it cometh and whither it goeth. So is every one that is born of what? The Spirit. You can't see the wind, but you can see what the wind does to the things in its path. If the wind comes through, Mrs. Miller had a barn. I forget what year that was, but there were some high winds that came through this area, and it took down her barn, just like that. Could you see the wind? No. But we sure saw what the wind did to everything in its path. It was flattened. Can you see a person's spirit? No. We can't see each other's spirit. We can't see that part of mankind. That part is not visible. We can't see it. We can't see. You know, I don't have some window here that you can look in and see, yep, he's saved. I can see. He has a saved spirit. I can see it in there. It's saved. We can't do that. But what is true that we can see is what the Spirit of God is doing in each of our lives. We can't tell in whom is the Holy Spirit other than what the Holy Spirit is doing in our lives. And that's why Jesus said that. You can't see the wind. You can hear the sound, but you can't see it. But you can see what the wind does to things in its path. You can see the tree bend right over in the wind. You can see the grass blow. You can't see the actual wind. You just see the things in its path, what's happening. And that's the same way with each of us. When a person gets saved, the Bible says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. God gives us new desires. We don't want to sin anymore. Does it mean we're perfect? No, but we feel bad when we sin. When we say the wrong things, we feel bad. We want those things to pass away. We want those things to change. And so God begins to work on us inside and outside. Hold your place here, if you would, please, and turn to me to 2 Corinthians chapter 6. 2 Corinthians chapter 6. When we get saved, 1 Corinthians chapter 6, I'm sorry, 1 Corinthians chapter 6. When we get saved, the inside is born again, and it affects the outside. 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 18, flee fornication. Every sin that a man doeth is without the body, but he that committeth fornication sinneth against his own body. What, know ye not that your body is the what? The temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own. For ye are bought with a price. Therefore glorify your God, glorify God in your what? Body and in your what? Spirit, which are God. So the inside changes, and that should bring forth changes on the outside. As something is either corrupt or pure on the inside, it comes out. Sometimes if things are getting wet and mildewing on the inside, it eventually works through to the outside. Sometimes it'll work through drywall. If a wall is getting wet, that wet will eventually seep through into the inside. So what is on the inside of us is going to come out. So 2 Corinthians 5:17, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. All things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. In closing, let's go to John chapter 1. John chapter 1. So, Actually, well, let's go there, and then I do want us to go back to where we were in John chapter 3, but let's look at this verse. In John 1, in verse 12, but as many as received him, it's talking about Jesus, these first verses. As many as received him, Jesus, to them gave he power to become what? The sons of God, even to them that what? Believe on his name. That's how we get born again. That's how we get saved. We come to the Lord Jesus Christ and receive him. We believe on him. And then let's go there to John chapter 3. And notice in verse 12. John 3, verse 12. If I have told you earthly things and you believe not, how shall you believe if I tell you of heavenly things? And verse 13, and no man hath ascended up to heaven, but he that came down from heaven, even the Son of Man which is in heaven. Jesus is more than just a prophet or a teacher. Jesus is God. He is God. You notice then in verse 15, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have what? Eternal life. Not temporary, but eternal life. And here's the verse, the well-known verse. Sometimes we think of this as a children's verse, but this verse was given to a master of Israel. This verse was given to a religious teacher, and it's John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever, what? Believeth in him should not, what? Perish, but have everlasting life. The Lord calls us to repentance. The Lord calls us to turn from our sin. That's not the same as reformation. God does not call us to clean up ourselves and come to him because we can't clean up ourselves. But God calls us to have the desire to want him to clean us up. And if we have that desire, he'll do it. He will do it. It's not the attitude, well, I'm going to continue in my sin whether you like it or not, God. That's not repentance. Repentance is, God, I'm tired of my sin. I realize I am a sinner. I realize I come far short of what I ought to be. And Lord, I ask you to cleanse me. Not trusting in myself, but your precious blood shed on that cross for me. And if you come in that heart of repentance and faith and ask the Lord Jesus Christ to save you, he will do so this very morning. Shall we pray? Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for this religious teacher at least was curious enough to come to Jesus and ask him these questions. And he got the answer. And we're thankful, Lord, that later on, after the Lord Jesus died on that cross, that Nicodemus was one of the ones that came forward boldly and was willing to help in the burial of the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you that the Lord did not stay in that grave, but came forth victorious the third day, proving that his blood is indeed enough to wash away all of our sins. Father, I pray that if there are any here this morning that have not been saved yet, I pray you'd help them, Lord, this morning to understand that we've been born physically, but we also need to be born spiritually. We need to turn from our sin and receive the Lord Jesus Christ as our Savior, that we might have that everlasting life, and that we might be born again. So please have your way in each of our hearts this morning. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.